The Shiva, which begins tonight, we'll begin with Maariv at 7 o'clock, a little bit of an unusual time. We also have the 8 o'clock, we have the 9:45, but if anyone would like to, I don't think we're desperate by any means, but if anyone lives nearby and wants to help out at that minion at 7 o'clock, by all means, you're encouraged to do so. Something to think about this week for the Parsha. One of the classic questions that the commentators discuss is that we have a little snapshot of Moshe Rabbeinu's early life. He's born, he's put in the water, and he spends a little time in Paro's palace and more or less disappears until he's about 80 years old. And everything else is sort of in the dark. And we rely on Midrashim to fill in the blanks. But the Torah clearly is trying to pinpoint certain episodes for a reason. And one explanation that's given is Moshe Rabbeinu is going to rise to be the leader. You know, one of the greatest leaders of all time. So perhaps those little snapshots that we have are deliberately chosen because those are the ones that give us the best perspective on what exactly gave Moshe Rabbeinu the qualities or the distinction. Why should he be the one to be chosen, right? So we zero in on those episodes because that's how we come to the realization why he takes the role that he does. If that's the case, I have a question. If I were to ask any of you what the hallmark quality of Moshe Rabbeinu was, you'd probably tell me this is humility, right? Moshe was an anav. The Torah actually tells us in Parshas Baloscha that Moshe was anav mikol, and he was the most humble person in the entire world. And that's the last, picture you get. Moshe Rabbeinu, those few episodes where he is, where he does appear before he's 8 years old, he's a take-charge kind of guy, and he's beating people up, and he's killing people. You know, doesn't really give the impression of someone who's humble, not that it has to be a contradiction, but if that really was his hallmark quality, that the Torah says he was number one, then why doesn't that get highlighted in those early stages? He's killing a Mitzri, he's giving Musar to Dasan and Aviram, who are beating each other up, he's saving, you know, Yisro, his daughters from the people who are giving them a hard time. So perhaps there is a hint to it. Perhaps there's a hint to it. One piece of that introductory section that we have in this week's parsha is Vayar B'Sivlosam. Moshe Rabbeinu gets to a certain age where he's mature enough to go out on his own from Paro's palace, and he sees Vayar B'Sivlosam. He sees what everyone's going through. He sees the trials. He sees the suffering of the Jewish people. Now, right there, you have a snapshot of greatness that he felt the need. He felt the importance of caring about other people. And even though he was living luxury in the palace, but he took seriously the fact that other people who were connected to him, his relatives, the Klal Yisrael, were not in such a great position. And he got involved and he shouldered their burden as well. But maybe there's something else to notice over here. And Moshe Rabbeinu, Midrash tells us that one of the reasons why the Jewish people merited to be taken out of Mitzrayim was because they had emunah. They believed in the fact that they were going to be taken out. Once again, that's surprising. If there's anyone who gives the hardest time to Moshe Rabbeinu that the time had come to leave, it's the Jewish people. Right? If anything, Paro actually listens a little bit better. It's only because Hashem hardened his heart and made it difficult for him to listen. Right? The Jews are the ones who put up the biggest fight. You know, it's sort of like, you know, you move into town, you put up an eruv. Who are the people who object? Unfortunately, it's the Jews. You know, who are we fighting in a certain sense? Not entirely, but we're fighting our own brothers, you know, in terms of support for Eretz Yisrael and understanding that we're the underdogs, not the Palestinians. So he was fighting against the Jews, and nevertheless, we're told that their emunah was what got them out of Mitzrayim. So Ksav Sofer says something phenomenal. He says, you know what emunah they had? They knew, passed on father to son and father to son, going back to Avram Avinu, that the Jews would be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. That they were subject to whatever they were subject to for a reason. That was part of Hashem's plan. And they could not be swayed from that emunah. Moshe Rabbeinu comes and tries to take him out 190 years early, and they're like, no! I have a Mesorah from my father and my grandfather, my great-grandfather. This is what it's supposed to be. We'll get there. The time will come. We have a moon. There's going to be Gula. But right now, the time has not yet come. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu came with all of his signs and his miracles and ways that he tried to convince them, it was so rooted in. Again, in a positive way, they were so entrenched in their work that it was hard for Moshe Rabbeinu to break them from that concept that they were stuck. They were stuck. There's other examples of this in the Torah where emunah, ironically, was a good thing. Their heart was in the right place, but they couldn't even open their ears to the fact that maybe Hashem was coming to give them another, a newer message that had to be understood. It's not like Moshe Rabbeinu already had the street credentials, so to speak, to trump the nevuah of Moshe, of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, those who came before him. So the emunah was so strong inside of them that Moshe Rabbeinu had to put in a lot of effort to get them to be open to the concept that we're going to leave early. If you understand that, when Moshe Rabbeinu went out, Vayar b'sivol son, he saw how difficult life was for them. And he saw what they were being, the torture, they saw the suffering, and they still maintained that unshaking emunah from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Wow. You know why that inspired humility? Look at that pasuk again in Baloscha. Moshe haya onav mikol adam. How do we translate it? He was the great, the most humble mikol adam, more humble than anyone else. Liz Yudel Finkel explains, no. He was onav mikol adam. His humility stemmed from the fact that he could look at other people, see their greatness, and then say, wow, what an amazing human being. What entrenched emunah, what stalwart faith. And look at me. I don't know if I was, you know, under the burdens, I was suffering what they're suffering. I don't know if I could match up to that emunah. That's where his humility came, mikol adam. Not just that he was more humble than everyone else, but his humility emerged from his interactions with other people. And perhaps that is hinted at in this week's parsha, right at the beginning of his lifetime, right at the beginning of his career, by Yar B'Sivol Son. He saw what they were going through, and the fact they were able to maintain that emunah, and he said, wow, that's something that I can learn from. And ultimately, the most humble person, it's not someone who walks around, you know, with his head down and hunched over, but a person who says, there's so much that I can learn from other people. That is true humility, and that's what brought Moshe Rabbeinu one more quality, one more, you know, gem in that throne that earned him the place in Jewish history that we will always remember.